Thank you for calling Nick's office. How can I help you?
Oh, yeah. Hi, this is Don Smith. I was, I'm supposed to have a 10:30 phone conversation with Nick, or Rick rather, and I'm not sure if I was supposed to contact him or if he was going to contact me.
All right. It might be Rick Martin, I believe.
Yeah, Rick Martin, yeah.
Correct. Okay. Can you help me out a little bit? What was in this, what was all this about?
We were going to discuss an app, mobile app idea that I had.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And
okay.
We spoke. Yeah, he had already emailed me. I had emailed him back the non-disclosure, signed non-disclosure form. So,
okay. If you can just give me a couple of minutes, let me just track Rick down, and hopefully he can come over here and have a word with you, okay? Just give me a couple of minutes if it's fine with you.
That's fine, yeah.
Great. Okay, just a minute. Please hold the line. Thank you.
Hey, sorry about keeping you waiting, Don.
That's okay. How you doing, Rick?
Thank you, sir.
I wasn't sure if I was supposed to call you or if you were going to give me a call.
Well, my apologies. I had an impromptu call come in, and this was a client that I haven't spoken to in about 2 weeks. So, you know, I had to, you know, kind of, take care of them. and that took me longer.
Yeah, that's okay.
But thank
yeah.
you for calling in. I mean, it's either ways, it's good, and I think you're connected. So, Don, tell me about it. I did receive the NDA, by the way, and it looks good. And
okay.
Now that if you may feel comfortable, I'd like to dive in into what you're trying to accomplish with a mobile application.
Sure. Yeah, before I get started, I noticed one paragraph in your in the NDA that if I was to do a verbal discussion, I would have to say all of this is confidential moving forward. Is that to say anytime we talk on the phone, I'm going to have to say that moving forward?
Oh, no, not really. The NDA covers for it, so don't worry about it. Now that you mentioned it the first time, this covers for all the verbal conversations we have.
Okay. All right. Well, so I don't know if you've had a chance to hop on my website and see my background, but
I did.
I've been in the photo business my whole life. Started out as a sports photographer, I won't go through everybody I work with, but I've worked with the top in sports, with Sports Illustrated. I was there for 8 years. Worked with the NBA, the NFL, Major League Baseball. I was 28
wow.
years team photographer for the San Jose Sharks. So that was what I did with sports, and that we did very well with that. My hobby photography, so to speak, at the time was doing landscape photography. So when you hop on my website, you don't really see me now as a sports photographer.
Exactly,
you
yeah.
see me as a landscape photographer. That has led to us doing workshops all over the world. I've got a real good reputation in the industry. Was associated with Sony for the past 9 years as part of their pro, they called us artisans. We were the pro photographers. That relationship really hasn't ended. It's just gone into where I'm now considered an alumni of that. I'm not an active member of that anymore.
Right.
As I told you, I'm trying to I'm in semi-retirement mode because I've been doing this stuff for 40, going on close to 50 years. So I know the photo industry backwards forward, which leads to the app idea. For years, when I was associated with Sony, they would ask for ideas. I was one of the first guys brought in when they wanted to build a brand new camera, sports camera. In fact, they just released version 3 of it this morning. 9 of my ideas made it into that camera. I really got nothing more out of it other than a camera. And then more
okay.
recently, starting about before COVID, I sat down with our head engineer at an event we were doing out in Sedona, Arizona, and we had dinner one night, and he says, I want to hear some of your ideas. One of the ideas I had, and this is in particular to landscape photographers, is called focus stacking. And I don't know how much you know about photography, but what happens is due to the restrictions of the lenses. Now, I'm talking in a 35-millimeter realm, and then I'm going to get to the mobile app spinoff of this. Depending on your focal length, how close your foreground subject is, how far away your background subject is, there's only so much that a camera or lens can record as sharp. It's a term called hyperfocal, and there are charts.
Hyperfocal,
all
okay.
Hyperfocal.
Gotcha.
This goes back to in time to the very first development of any camera or lens. It's just sheer physics. So the way people started to get around that limitation was they would start to let's envision. In fact, I just did this photo the other night, and I can send it to. I can direct you to my. Are you on Facebook by chance?
Of course, yeah. In fact, I'm
okay.
looking at your website if I can find it there, but otherwise let me pull up
Facebook
as well.
Okay, you can go to my homepage on my website. Over on the left side where I have all the links, there should be a Facebook icon sitting there that if you click it will take you to the Facebook site.
Mm-hmm. Give me
and
one
then
second.
You want to...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, you go ahead. I think I found you here.
Okay, now just scroll down to the October 27th post. It'll be a picture of these red flowers, very vibrant, a bay in the background, and a sunset.
I'm there. Okay. It starts with
okay.
a couple of weeks ago.
Yes, yes. Okay.
Gotcha.
So
mm-hmm.
that image cannot physically be recorded in one frame with any combination of camera, lens, cell phone, nothing. It can't be done because of the limitations of hyperfocal focusing.
So either the front or the back, the background or the foreground is going to be blurred is what you're saying.
Exactly. Now, for that
yeah.
particular picture you're looking at, that was taken mm-hmm. with the latest Sony camera where I started 5 years ago talking to our head U.S. engineer about implementing focus stacking in the Sony camera. It finally came out in that camera. Canon cameras and Nikon cameras were
mm-hmm.
ahead of us, and we finally got it put into our camera. He pushed back a lot on me, and I just said, Mark, there's a lot of applications for this. For macro photography, you want to do a flower, you know, and like I know with my iPhone, I have an iPhone 14 Pro Max, and one of the
right.
lenses I can do macro with it. But depending on how close I get, it's because of hyperfocal, I'm limited. So that's the way around it. That photo you are looking at is a combination
mm-hmm.
of 31 frames focus stacked. So how does that done? So what Sony and all these other camera companies are allowing us to do,
mm-hmm.
we actually shoot, we focus on the closest thing to the lens. My lens on that picture was probably literally 2 inches away to the very first flower petal, which is razor sharp. Now I'm shooting all the way out to infinity where the sun is setting over the ocean out there,
right.
past the bay.
Mm-hmm.
It took 31 frames of focus to cover that whole range at the aperture I had set, which
Amazing.
Was F11 on
mm-hmm.
that camera. Okay. Now, I was out the other night where I live here in Morro Bay, literally a half a block from me. I
right.
have, if you scroll to the current picture I have, you'll see some sea lavender flowers and a sunset with some eucalyptus trees going across.
The first one you say, right? The most
yeah,
recent
the
one.
First one, that's the current image I have up, yeah.
Gotcha, yeah.
Now,
it's with a beautiful sunset, or is that a sunrise?
Yeah. No, it's a sunset setting over and over the bay in Morro Bay.
Gotcha.
Okay. That was done, I was out for a walk with my wife, and I always have my iPhone with me. That's something
mm.
everybody has with them. So I laid down and got the camera very low, but because it was kind of dark, I had to focus into the flowers. So if you were to pinch up on that photo, you would see the first, maybe a couple feet of the flowers are really kind of out of focus.
That's
and
right. That's
I have
right.
some pretty sophisticated focusing applications that I can bring back focus to a point. But so I went to bed that night, and I woke up the next morning. I go, dang, I wish somebody would have a focus stacking app. So I went to work on Google and the app stores
mm-hmm.
looking around, and I came up with two. One is called Focus Stacker. And it's now this is on the iPhone App Store. It got terrible reviews. There hasn't been a review since 2019. The user interface looks terrible, and I stopped after reading about the first 10 reviews because it basically people just said it sucked. They couldn't
right.
do any type of macro photography. Okay, so I dug a little deeper and talked to some of my colleagues, and I found out there is another camera app. You know how they produce these full cameras with a lot of different, where you can control shutter and aperture and ISO to a point. And it is called Aura HDR, A-U-R-A HDR.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a $9.99. You can download the app for free and use it for, I don't know, so many days. And then they want to charge you for it. I just went ahead and paid it because it unlocked all the features. So that's
I see the one that says
app.
Aurora HDR. Is that the one?
Yeah, A-U-R-A HDR. And HDR stands for high dynamic range. So
okay.
So like in a situation where I was shooting those flowers out towards the sunset,
right.
It's tough for the cameras to see the way our eyes see. In fact, just as an aside note, our head engineer, we had a talk about 4 years ago at a press event in New York, and I asked him, Mark, how far away, because Sony is number one in the industry in making sensors, and I said, how far are we away before sensors become as good, if not better, than human vision? And that was 4 years ago, and he said a minimum 10 years. So I guess if they're proceeding on track, discounting the 2 years of COVID, we could still be 6 to 8 years out. So what high dynamic range does is obviously what's going on inside most of these smartphones. I think iPhone does it the best, where computational photography takes over. So it takes 8 to 10 frames in a still photo.
Mm-hmm.
From the highlights to the shadows, it combines them in, you know, milliseconds to give you a view that looks really, really good, better than any of the top-of-the-line professional cameras that are currently out there, because I own all the Sony cameras. So,
interesting.
Okay, so let's get on to focus stacking. That's what HDR stands for, but that's not what I'm interested in this app. I'm interested, let's start with this Aura HDR. I bought it. I went out and tested their focus stacking. Here's what they do. They basically allow you, they blow up the little focusing dot that's on your iPhone screen or any other camera screen, and they make the user have to tap the focus. Does that make sense? So I would start on the nearest flower. I would tap it. Now, I would have to guess on where I would have to tap the second one, and then the third point, and the fourth point, until I could work myself all the way out to infinity. Or maybe I don't want to go out to infinity. Maybe in that picture you're looking at, I only want to go out to those trees and then have the background kind of recede. So I could, but the key is they're making you tap it. So the technology is there. Here's where I want to take this forward, and this is where I pushed it hard with Sony. We have to make it where the user just pushes the camera button once, and the app takes over, and based on the math of the hyperfocal math, it knows how much to shift the second focus and click, how much to shift the third focus and click, and it's doing it without the user having to guess. Does that make sense?
I think it does. I'm trying to download the application, and this tells me it needs iOS 15.4 or later. And that just tells me I'm behind on my iOS here.
Yeah.
And that tells me, you know, the technology that's used within this Aura HDR application is pretty recent. And
it is. They just came up. Yeah, they were at, I knew nothing of this camera until I started researching it. They were at a version 6.0, and I just think recently they came up with the version 6.01, if I've got that right. And that was the one I happened to download. But I always stay current with my updates on my phone, so it installed on mine no problem and took off and worked. But my key point on that, Rick, is that I know the technology is already there. So if we were just to build an app that did what they did, we're not doing anything different. Where I want it to go forward is what I convinced Sony to do, is to somehow allow the user to just push the first frame, wherever they want to put that first closest frame, and then maybe they would have to tap manually to where they wanted the focus to end. In the case of those flowers, I didn't have to do that. Sony built the app where it just starts on the first one, and then through the hyperfocal map and the lens that you've chosen on your camera, I believe the aperture, when I was shooting these flowers that you're looking at now, the
right.
low view with the iPhone, my aperture was 1.8. I went back and checked. And I think that was on about the 24 millimeter lens, somewhere in that range. I'd have to go back and pull up my metadata on that.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought about this more, and there are apps that are self-timer apps. Well, in fact, you know, the iPhones, I think most phones have self-timers built into it.
Right.
So
Even Androids.
There
yeah.
should be a way that you could signal once it determined where to move that photo dot or the exposure triangle, whatever you want to call that thing, that little dot of focus. It could. That's the thing. I don't know if we could make work, or that's why I'm coming to you guys. Can that, based on a mathematical formula, move the focus dot and trip the shutter? Should be able to trip the shutter because it works in a self-timer mode.
Technically, yes. But all of this that we're talking about right now in our mobile app jargon is called optical vision. Now, optical vision has a lot of use cases, and this seems to be one classic case. With optical vision, we do have some extremely talented developers there that I need to run this with before I can give my word on it. But with the way you're sounding about it, and with all the background that you gave me, this does look doable, is what I can tell you. But we'd have to recircle on this, and we'd have to look at whether it's technically possible or not.
Yeah, that would obviously be the first thing. We would have to talk about the other thing, and you and I kind of went back and forth on the chat yesterday. I'm semi-retired. I live
right.
in a beautiful, beautiful area, which is where I want it to be, so I could just do my photography. And I don't want to risk spending money out of my pocket, and possibly this doesn't work out, and I've ruined my retirement account. I can't do that. So that's why I was discussing if you guys would be willing to work on some form of a percentage, possibly capped at some point, but you this way we're kind of in partnerships on this, and you're going to make far more money, if it's doable, far more money than you would do if I just paid you straight to just develop the app and walked away.
Well, so, yeah, we, like I mentioned on the chat yesterday, I think this discussion kind of got roadblocked with the other things we were discussing, the NDA and everything.
Yeah.
But we do, we have this rapid startup program whereby we fund we do a minor stake. So we don't do a 50-50, we don't do a 40-60. The maximum we invest, or we are allowed, to invest into an application is 12%. And that's a minor stake. Yeah, 12%. And that is a minor stake. And then, Don, I'd be honest with you. I mean, we may have developers that understand the technology, but the people who have to make the decision on whether this is a viable investment for us or not, they probably wouldn't even know the ABCD for this one, right?
Right.
And I think it would be a lot easier and a lot better yin-yang match for you if you go for someone like yourself. I mean, someone who's passionate about it and, more importantly, understands the ins and outs, because the developer would, but people sitting behind, the company, the board and everyone, they probably wouldn't even be able to, get past the conversation that we're having right now. You're getting my point? Right?
Yeah.
But then again, we have to do it, and, since we think it is a noble idea, the tops we're looking at is somewhere about 12%. 10% is the standard we do, but 12% is what we allowed by this, some sort of contract or some fiduciary, notice we have, and that says we can invest up to 12% with our client as a partner into the application.
Yeah. Well, so I guess what we have to do at this point, you would have to see if this is doable. Then you would have to tell me what the cost of this is going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm going to have to make a decision.
What kind of cost are you expecting, by the way? I mean, of course.
I have no idea, Rick. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm a photographer. I'm not an engineer. Having been associated with Sony, over the past 9 years, I've worked hand in hand with the engineers, but I was always, my gift was the ideas, and how I take, like you said, what I'm passionate about, photography, and, you know, so I'm more on the idea side. I just saw Sony make so many, over the years, make so much money off of the ideas I gave them that now that our relationship is such that I'm not on a actual written contract with them anymore, I'm sort of grandfathered under with them that, you know, I'm a representative for them, but, you know, that's neither here nor there. So I'm kind of free to take my ideas and go other places with them.
Right. Why exactly would you do that, if you don't mind me asking? I mean, why not Sony, and why do it independently?
Because Sony has their own phones. They make their own smartphones. They're not, in my opinion, they're not going to want to take the technology they have in their top-of-the-line Pro 35-millimeter cameras, this focus stacking, which has really been a hit. They're not going to want to take that and throw it into a phone, in my opinion, because now the consumer says, wow, I really want an iPhone or a Samsung or whatever my phone is that will focus stack without having to spend $3,000 to $5,000 on a pro-level camera and then have to invest in a bunch of lenses that I don't want to do. So
right,
all I'm really doing is taking one thing that they put into their cameras, and it's nothing new. Like I said, Canon already had this technology out in their cameras. Nikon had it in their cameras, and literally about 12 years ago, where this my first introduction to this, I had a company contact me out of the blue from Dallas, and they were working on a unit that would do this. I was with Canon cameras at the time. I wasn't affiliated with Canon. I just used their gear. And they said, we have this little unit called a focus stacker. And I, well, what's that? I have no idea what that is. It sat on the hot shoe of the camera. It plugged in. And all I did was I set the first thing I wanted in focus in my frame, and I halfway pushed on the shutter. And then I manually focused out to the last thing I wanted sharp in my frame, and I manually pushed the shutter. And that set the parameters. And then I did one click, and it actually focused the lens, clicked, focused the lens, clicked, focused the lens, clicked, based on this hyperfocal map. And it worked. And
sweet.
I don't think they ever brought that unit to the market. They were going to sell it for $500. And I kind of forgot about it. I still have the unit sitting around here somewhere.
Uh-huh.
But they, you know, it wouldn't work on anything. But they never brought it to market. And then it died out. But this is something landscape photographers have been doing forever, and they're doing it manually. And the problem is when you do it manually, if you miss one zone of focus, you can't composite these images together anymore. So there's software that composites these images for you, and possibly if this app was to work, it would be cool if we could put that in there down the line. And so it's a true start to finish focus stacker, and it would take the images, stack them, combine them, and then output it to one single frame that you had a finished product on. Yeah. And so I can say that there is a technology, and I can't remember the name. A guy up in the Silicon Valley developed it. And he was in one of our, I teach photo workshops, he was in one of our photo workshops.
Mm-hmm.
And what it was is it's a camera with no aperture. So it takes a picture, and then back at the computer, you set the range of focus. Well, Sony bought his technology. They bought him out. He's laying on a beach somewhere now counting his money. I asked Sony about 3-4 years ago, we had a meeting, and I said, so you guys are sitting on this. When are you ever going to come out with it? And they go, maybe never, because it's a whole new way of doing photography, and we would lose our entire customer base because they would think we're switching up on them. So it may have been one of these deals they do plan on coming out with eventually, or they don't, and they just stopped any other company from coming out with it. But the technology's there. Because it had already, again, been developed, but the camera world isn't ready for it because it's too big of a leap, if that makes sense.
How does... So,
Rick, I'm losing you here.
You know, regularly?
There you go. I lost you there for a second. What? Can you say that again?
So all I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to join the dots here. So how does the, you know, Sony say that, you know, the reason they don't want to, you know, take this to the finish line is because it's going to be about dumping their existing customer base and changing, you know,
yeah, because,
or evolving how photography essentially is done.
Because
how does that essentially
make,
change you?
Well, the only thing I can think of, it would make all your lenses obsolete. You would have to redo all your lenses to work with this new technology.
Okay.
And you would
there
have
you
to basically redo all your cameras to work with this new technology. It's been proven it works. I'm just blanking on the name of the company, and we talked to the owner of it, and it does work, and that's the future. I mean, I read a lot of stories where we're going with the future of photography. And cell phones traditionally have led the market in new and inventive ideas. It's not the camera companies. The camera companies are behind. Sony's in a unique position in that they are a camera company and a cell phone company. But
right.
they're not going to give, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, they're not going to want to give away their top technology that they've put into a $4,500 camera and offer it as a $5 app in the app store for somebody to do it on their smartphone. They wouldn't want to do that. That would shoot them in the foot. I understand that. If I was in their shoes, I would think the same way. So
right.
I know it excited the photo world when they finally came out with this. And to take this same technology and put it into an app that the average person can use and completely take their photography to the next level would just be very – nobody's doing it. Nobody's doing it.
So are
that
you sure?
Pretty much is
I mean,
my idea.
Yeah, question,
Pardon?
Don. So you said that one of these Silicon Valley startups came up with this new technology. Sony took it over, if I'm following you correctly, and they decided they'd never be able to accomplish this. Now, are you sure this groundbreaking technology is not patented by them? Because somewhere you also mentioned that they're not allowing other companions within the industry to launch a similar technology as well.
Yeah.
So is there like a patent?
I would be sure that they would have it patented. But the idea for our app doesn't even go there. I'm just telling you where the future is going with all of this stuff. But it's years and years. It could be decades and decades away, if ever in my lifetime, that it would ever happen. And I totally understand because they would any camera company, if they had that technology, they would probably just sit on it because it would completely disrupt the industry and what they're doing. They would tick off all their customers because they go, oh, now all my cameras and lenses are going to be obsolete. This is the new technology. All I'm doing is taking the idea of what Canon or Nikon or Sony has in their current cameras and wanting to do it as an app. And, again, it's already with this Aurora, whatever that camera is, HDR, it's already to where I can tap focus. But if I miss a zone of focus by tap focusing,
right.
then the pictures, the frames aren't going to combine together. What's going to happen in software, you're going to have maybe the first 6 inches of the frame, you know, let's say those beautiful flowers, razor sharp, and then I skip the zone of focus, that's going to go into soft focus, and then it's going to pick back up and be razor sharp all the way out to infinity. So by developing an app that's based off of hyperfocal math and it's changing the focus point and leaving the user out of it, it can't skip. That's I use the Sony camera all the time to do those types of pictures. and it's revolutionized the way I can do pictures now. That first picture I showed you of those red flowers, I could never do that before. I couldn't even do that if I was manually focusing the lens myself, because that was 31 frames of focus from start to finish, and I would just be afraid I would be missing zones of focus. And it did it the first time through, and I threw it in a software program. Then I developed the one frame as a single frame, and people are going, wow, how'd you do that? The only other way you used to be able to do that, you turn back the clock to these old view cameras. They had what were called swings and tilts, and, you know, you saw these, like, Ansel Adams out there on his big tripod, and he had the dark, he was under a cloth, and, you know, that was the only other way you could do it. Camera manufacturers were, and they still are, I know Canon and Nikon do it, they did what was called tilt-shift cameras, tilt-shift lenses, and it was a way to get this extra depth of field you needed to do those near-far photos that I'm talking about. Then digital came down the pipe. Sony never did jump in the game of putting those tilt-shift lenses out. I had talked to them numerous times about doing it, but, you know, they have to be sure that there's enough of a calling out there for people wanting to do it. So, I did a little more research, and, you know, through Google again, so I don't know. I'm not in this world. You are. That there was 9 billion cell phones or smartphones in the world. It was the current count that I had in some article I was reading. I thought if one-tenth of those people who are photo enthusiasts enough would be educated about this and what the benefits were of focus stacking, 10% of 9 billion, holy mackerel. I mean, the dollar figures are staggering of what's the potential of this app.
Yeah, I mean, 4 billion, I've heard of that probably, you know, 3 years ago, but it may have tripled. It may have grown by, say, about 50%, and we're looking at somewhere about 5 billion smartphones. But I get your point. I mean, it's still pretty much valid. Yep.
If you just had 5% of 5 billion smartphones or 10%, you convince, you know, because to me, smartphones, the only improvements they're putting into smartphones anymore comes with the cameras
exactly,
and the video.
Yeah.
And I looked at the iPhone 15 and really looked at it closely. I think that should have been a 14F upgrade. All they gave you was a fixed telephoto camera, a 120 millimeter camera. They already have Dolby Vision for their video. You can't, that's HDR video, this high dynamic range video that you can shoot up to 120 frames a second. So I don't know what improvements they can make in video as far as recording. Dolby Vision was going to hitch their wagons, and I think it came down to between Samsung and Apple. And when they chose Apple, that's when I went to the iPhone 14 Pro Max. In fact, my images are represented by Getty Images. I make sales off of images that I capture on my iPhone.
Picture, you have a card
yeah,
on
the
website.
One where I'm laying down in the flowers that you're looking at, that was the iPhone 14 Pro Max. That'll go off to Getty in the morning, and they can use that because I have software that will interpolate it up to a 100-plus megapixel file with no degradation, really, and they can sell my iPhone pictures. It's just amazing. So if you're offering this tool that overcomes the limitations of this depth of field, I can't see it failing. But
no, I love your passion with this, and I love your passion with photography, and you know that's one thing you need when you're trying to invent the wheel or say reinvent the wheel. You need passion to pursue it, and that's something I appreciate. From a business perspective, Don, are you looking to make money out of it? I mean, do you think it's a lucrative money-minting idea?
Yeah.
Or
yeah.
You are? Okay.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not just doing this because it's something I would want. I would look at it because I in my heart of hearts, and I teach workshops for a living. I go all over the world teaching workshops. And I could tell you that to a person I talk to that is kind of passionate about their photography with smartphones, and there's a lot of people I meet, that if you educated them what this app was all about and what it would do for their photography, I don't think they wouldn't hesitate to jump on board and purchase this app.
Sure. I mean, yeah, and I think we have the Aura HDR. That's kind of a proof of concept on, you know, the kind of a preliminary application to what we're trying to accomplish. And that gives me some hope. That gives me some optimism that, you know, what you're trying to do with this, the spin-off of it, is pretty much doable, should be doable as well.
Okay.
Whether it's marketable and whether you'd need a big brand on board to kind of push this to its limits and, you know, kind of make the best out of it and double down on, you know, the sales, that's something that I'm thinking on. But if I stay in my shoes and, you know, as a developer and as someone who can, you know, talking about bringing this to life and, you know, everything before marketing, I think it should be 100% doable. So I can run this with my team. The only thing that I need from you, Don, I think we've had a great discussion today, and I enjoyed every bit of it. I may need more like an excerpt from you in writing, as concise as possible, but with all the detail regarding this idea, so I can take this forward internally with my developers. And I assure you that I'll, you know, try and work with my developers to make sure I can come up with a concrete answer on whether this is even doable or not. And that probably is the first step from here, right?
It would be. And I think just because I know, and I appreciate the phone call too. We have talked about a lot. Again, where I think my only concern is that the most, you called it a rapid funder, I believe, at 12%. I would need to have once you guys think it's doable, and then do a cost analysis of what this would cost. Mm-hmm. I would have to see if I could get some investors interested in this.
Of course, yes. Yeah. So, okay.
Or, as if you said, you need to go to your board and discuss it with them. Again, you're going to try to talk to people that know nothing of photography, and the benefit of this is, if the company would be excited about it and would want to do a percentage of profits off of it, obviously capped at some point, you know, I just, again, having been in this industry my whole life, I understand the value of what it is that we're trying to accomplish. It took me 5 years to convince Sony that this was doable, and it's one of the main reasons that their camera called the A7 R5, which is pretty much targeted to landscape photographers, it's what pushed this camera over the top in sales from any other camera. And, you know, so I got a camera out of it and a pat on the back, and that was about it. And my wife was telling me the other day, you've come up with so many ideas for Sony that they took and made money off of. Now I'm not under contract with them anymore to take these ideas and try one on my own. And Sony's limited in their market, right? I mean, this is the problem. Cell phone cameras, in my opinion, are going to one day replace 35 millimeter cameras. It may not be in my lifetime. We're already